This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
If you think about it, you're really only limited by your imagination with what this intelligent road can do.
How often do you hear of an idea so big, so revolutionary, that you immediately start to dream of the possibilities? This week on Sea Change Radio, we talk to the inventor of just such an idea. Up until now, the focus of reducing transportation-related carbon emissions has been on the types of vehicles we're driving. But Scott Broussard believes the answer is actually right under our noses, or rather, right under our tires. Solar roadways hold the promise to turn our roads, playgrounds, parking lots, and driveways not only into safer, more sustainable surfaces, but also into producers of energy. Solar roadways, this week on Sea Change Radio. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Scott Broussard. He is the president and founder of Solar Roadways. Scott, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Thanks for having me.
I came across this video over the Memorial Day weekend, and a lot of listeners may have seen it as well. It's terrific. It's called Solar Freaking Roadways, a very enthusiastic look at you and your wife's idea for making solar panels out of our roads. It sounds too good to be true. Explain the reality of it and give us an idea of how it would work.
Solar roadway, we've built what we refer to as solar road panels. It's a solar panel that you can drive on. We've made this thing almost indestructible. We sent it off to civil engineering labs for testing, and it can handle a 250,000-pound truck, which is about four times the legal limit. We've done traction testing. It'll stop a vehicle going 80 miles an hour on a wet surface in the required distance. We've done impact resistance testing, dropping one-pound steel balls on the surface to make sure it's not going to break apart. Every test we can think of, we've done, and it's passed with flying colors. Inside, we've got two pieces of half-inch tempered glass. Tempering it makes about 10 times stronger than normal glass, and it's half-inch thick. We've got a circuit board with LEDs and a microprocessor, so it's a communication device. We've got 128 LEDs. We've got red, green, blue, white, and yellow, so we can paint any road line configuration. We can paint words, graphics, about anything we want to do. We've also got heating elements. So in the north, you don't have to plow snow anymore. We keep the surface just above freezing so nothing will stick to it. It also gets rid of your need for using chemicals on the road, all that stuff. What else? The road lines, they did a test in the UK where they used what they called solar road studs, where they had LEDs shining at night to show you where the road lines were. And they found that just that alone reduced nighttime accidents by 70%. So by the time you factor that in and no more sliding around on the snow and being able to see at night again, it's got a lot of safety features to it.
And there's also an infrastructure element to this as well, if you could explain.
Well, let me start from the beginning. We're going to start off on driveways and sidewalks and bike paths and parking lots, non-critical applications. Because no matter how careful you are in the lab, there's always going to be something you can't anticipate. So we're going to learn those lessons in the non-critical areas. Then we'll move out onto, say, residential roads, which are really still slow-moving, lightweight vehicles. Our ultimate goal will be the fast lane of the highway. By the time they get to that, if we could do every road in the U.S., you would have a new infrastructure. You would have a decentralized power grid. You would have a smart grid. You would be able to produce, theoretically, three times more electricity than we use as a nation. Now you're using renewable energy rather than, say, coal to create electricity. And the numbers vary, but I've heard that's roughly half of what greenhouse gases come from is burning fossil fuels to make electricity. Another 25% comes out of our tailpipes. So now we have an electric infrastructure, your roads, your parking lots, everything's electric. You can plug in anywhere and recharge an EV. We're also talking to three different companies that make mutual induction technology. And what they do is they put a receiver plate underneath your EV. You put the transmitter plate in our electric road, or in any road, basically. but currently they're trying to do it in asphalt and it's not working very well, or not easy to do, I should say. But you drive your EV over these plates and it charges your battery as you go, so it greatly extends their range. And now you've got your EV infrastructure so people can start trading their internal combustion engines in for EVs. So in theory, we could wipe out 75% of the greenhouse gases.
I'm not quite sure about how this worked. I saw in the video they said there could also be power lines running underneath those. How would that differ from a regular road?
You know, there are two options right now, are overhead power lines or underground lines. And it's not just power lines, it's data, telephone, internet, all kinds of things. And there's pros and cons to both systems. What they're looking at is we have alongside our road what we call a cable corridor. It's got two vaults, one's for storm water and one's for data and power. And what they're saying is you've got an accessible case vault here for our power lines. We can access it anytime we want. No car is going to knock it down, knock a pole down. The ice isn't going to bring it down. They love that idea. So basically, you could take all those overhead power lines and they go away. They follow the road now.
And these solar roadways, Scott, they're different than regular roads, not only in that they produce electricity, but they light up. Pretty cool.
They do. We've got each panel, it's a hexagon, and measures roughly 4 square feet. We've got 128 LEDs spread across the surface, inside, of course, and hermetically sealed.
That gives you a lot of options as an urban planner.
It does. We've got red, green, blue, white, and yellow LEDs, so we can paint any road line configuration, any parking lot. You know, like in a playground application, we can make the basketball court, and then at the touch of a button, a teacher can change it to 4 square and hopscotch, whatever she wants. Airports like the idea because as a pilot's flying into land, he doesn't have to look for a windsock. The actual runway can have an arrow on it with like 14 miles an hour pointing which way the wind's blowing. There's a lot of applications for that. They did a study in the UK a few years back. They put what's called solar road studs on the lines about every 10 or 15 feet just to show people where the lines were. These LEDs would glow at night. And they learned that reduced nighttime accidents by 70%. The other thing we have in those panels are heating elements, so it prevents snow and ice accumulation in the northern climates. So there's a lot of safety features to the system.
One thing that people don't think about when they think about paving, our current paving system, is this is it's a fossil fuel-based solution, which has a lot of external costs as well. These solar panels were made from largely recycled materials, and why don't you explain how they could become more cost-effective, not just in the long term, but in the short term?
Well, we do a lot of recycling. Like our base, we went to Montana and picked up a trailer load of recycled glass that became 10% of the aggregate in our base. The internal support structure can be made out of recycled plastics, for instance, mixed with organic materials. So it'd be sort of like that track stuff you buy for your deck. The glass can be recycled, of course. We're designing with a cradle-to-cradle philosophy, so at the end of its 20-year lifespan, you don't just take this to landfill. You reuse it. In addition to it pays for itself primarily through the generation of electricity. That alone can make it pay for itself over its lifespan. But those cable corridors we've talked about, you can also lease to utility companies, to the power companies, to the telephone companies, internet companies. All of those would be gladly paid to use that. At least they're already paying for overhead poles and underground cables. In parking lots, you can pay for it by selling advertising because the LEDs can make graphics and verbiage, whatever you want. You show your weekly special of the day as people are walking toward the building. There's a lot of different ways you can generate money, revenue, for your return on investment.
So people think, well, problem is our cars. We need to upgrade our cars to electric vehicles, and that is well underway, and it definitely is a step in the right direction. People never even stop to think about the roads, though, Scott. The status quo is not tenable, though, is it?
That's right. Asphalt is petroleum-based, so it follows the price of a barrel of oil, and it's been going up over the years. And that's one of the reasons the Federal Highway Administration contacted us, is you can't afford to keep going with these asphalt roads. Another thing they discovered is the DOT told me that they did a study, we lose as a nation $165 billion a year in lost productivity and wasted fuel from you and me sitting in a traffic jam due to road construction. Pothole repair, for instance. You're just sitting there not moving, your engine's running. That's wasted. You're not working. That's lost productivity. $165 billion a year. They've learned that rather than fix the road correctly, they can go out and cut a 10-foot by 10-foot chunk out and drop a precast slab of concrete in it just to get traffic moving again. And that's more economically viable than actually trying to fix the road correctly. What what they love about our system is it's modular. There's four bolts holding this in. Each panel weighs 110 pounds. I can pick them up. I could take it. Some, and they talk to each other, so they report in damaged panels. Each hexagon has six neighbors, and the microprocessors is a wireless transceiver, and they talk constantly. Are you still there? Are you still there? Are you still there? If one of them stops reporting, they check with the other neighbors, and if he doesn't report anymore, they know something's wrong, so they call it in. So basically, if I'm in a repair shop, I get a call, said, you know, panel, third panel in, northbound lane, mile marker 114.2, not responding, send a truck. So I throw a good panel in the back of my truck, drive out there. I can reconfigure the road lines around this panel. I can flash the road red to warn there's something going on rather than setting off flares. I can jump out of my truck, unbolt this, pop the new one in, and be out of there in 5 minutes. Completely fixed. They love the idea of the modularity of that.
Follow the shift to sustainability with SeaChange Radio on Twitter at twitter.com/SeaChangeRadio and on our Facebook page.
I'm kind of broke, bro.
Yeah, no kidding. The economy is in the toilet. Do you realize how many thousands of jobs this could create and sustain? Talk about a hypodermic adrenaline shot to the heart of the manufacturing and infrastructure sector. And it pays for itself. They're solar freaking roadways.
I have concerns about the future.
Is this thing even possible?
I told you, yes.
Solar roadway technology was invented by engineering couple Julie and Scott Broussard in 2006. Two of the sweetest people in the world who met...
And we're here with Scott Broussard, the inventor of solar roadways. That clip was from his company's new promotional video, which we'll link to on seachangeradio.com. So, Scott, who are you? And how can you live way up in northern Idaho, and you and your wife are just two people with a very big idea. Tell us how this came about, where the inspiration came from, what your training is, and how you hope to take it to the next level.
I'm an electrical engineer. I've been working in the industry for about 30 years now. But our story really goes back to the early 60s. Julie and I met when we were 3 and 4 years old in Southern California. Our families had homes back to back, and her mom used to babysit me while my parents worked. And back then, my favorite toy was my little slot car track, which was really an electric road with electric cars. So I just brainstormed as a child that if we could make real roads like slot car tracks or make electric roads, then kids could drive. So fast forward many years later, Julie has her degrees in clinical psychology. I've got my degrees in electrical engineering. And I think it was about 10 years ago when Al Gore did his film on global warming, The Inconvenient Truth. And these new phrases started coming into the nightly news, global warming, climate crisis. And it's kind of bothering me at one point. I thought, all right, fix it then. It's obviously a big problem. Who's going to fix this? And I'm thinking a climatologist or weather guys, that's who would fix it. But I wasn't very educated about it. I finally got sparked into the learning what the global warming was. And we realized why it wasn't being fixed. It's a huge problem. It's massive scale. What do you do? Then one day, Julie, it was actually her idea. She turned to me and says, remember those electric roads you always talked about as a kid? I said, yeah. She says, could you make those out of solar panels? And I laughed at first. I said, you can't even step on a solar panel. Let them drive on them. They're fragile. So she dropped it. But the seed had been planted, and it bothered me. I started thinking, if we could make some kind of structurally engineered case to protect the solar cells, then we could probably do this. And I started thinking about the black box on an airplane. That has sensitive electronics, sensitive recording devices inside, and yet that airplane can hit a mountain or go to the bottom of the ocean, and they can fish that back out, and it's still working.
Yeah, you always hear comedians talking about, why don't they make the whole plane out of these black boxes?
Yeah. So we weren't sure how to make this. You know, I'm an electrical engineer, and I knew the surface would have to be transparent. So I was thinking maybe some kind of high-impact plastic or something, but we were told that plastic yellows under the sun at a rate of about 10% per year, so it'd be useless pretty fast. Plus, it's another petroleum product. So I looked up the two top materials research labs in the nation. At the time, they were Penn State University and University of Dayton. And I went and visited both, and they both told me the same thing, use glass. And I'm skeptical as anybody else. Like, I'm standing here with a cup of coffee in my hand with a flick on my wrist, I can go through my glass window without even any effort. And they said, yeah, that's how everybody looks at glass. But don't think of window to glass. Think of bulletproof glass. Think of bomb-resistant glass. They do that by laminating layers of tempered glass together, and that's exactly what we wound up doing. So that's where it was born. And once we had a system, a case that could withstand all those forces, we had the solar cells in, but then we live in the north, and we know that, you know, as soon as it snows, they stop producing. So we put heating elements in to prevent the snow from sticking. Then, of course, you can't paint road lines on top of them either, so we added LEDs to illuminate the road lines. And to have the LEDs, we needed a microprocessor. Well, these microprocessors are two-way wireless communicators. So now they can talk to each other. They can talk to cars going overhead if they're equipped with a circuit board to do that. There's the, you know, it's mind-boggling if you think about it. You're really only limited by your imagination with what this intelligent road can do.
One of the beautiful things about this idea is we always hear about high-speed trains being the wave of the future, but the problem with a high-speed train line is you have to build the whole thing, or you have to build it from at least point A to point B for it to be useful to anybody.
Yeah.
You really can begin this in dribs and drabs, can't you, for it to still make a difference?
Oh, we can, and that's how we're going to do it. We're going to start off with parking lots and sidewalks and driveways, things like that. And an example I give people is, and this brings it closer to home, because think of a road as one thing, but think of your driveway. If your driveway needs to be replaced, if you're building a new home, you typically get a contractor in there, and your choice right now is blacktop or concrete. And regardless of which one you put down, you're going to write this contractor a check, and when he drives off, that money's gone forever. And then you're going to have to redo this in a few years or do maintenance on it. You're going to have to shovel snow. Whereas if you throw in a solar roadway-type driveway with our solar road panels, the minute that contractor plugs it in, it starts paying for itself. Now it's feeding your house or business with electricity that you're going to use. And it's just a matter, depending on how big it is and how much power you draw and how much sun you get, will determine how long it takes you to pay it off. And once it's paid off, then it's all profit. Plus, unlike concrete or asphalt, you can get subsidies, tax breaks for solar. There's a whole lot of stuff. Every state's a little bit different, but you can get it like 30% off.
It doesn't have to be on your roof to qualify for those rebates.
No, it doesn't. Matter of fact, we have a charter school in town, and I saw in the paper they put up a $384,000 solar array on their roof. I thought, where does a school get that kind of money? Looked into it a little further. It was almost completely paid through subsidies and tax breaks.
This is Alex Wise on SeaChange Radio. I'm speaking to the founder and CEO of Solar Roadways, Scott Broussard. So you started this in 2006, is that correct, Scott?
Actually, we've been talking about it a while before that. That's when I was working as a contract engineer for a company in southern Italy, and that wrapped up in early 2006. My wife had her practice going in town. It was doing well, and we had a nice little nest egg. She said, why don't you take a year off and see if anybody's even interested in the solar roadways idea? And we didn't know, we're not advertisers. We didn't know how to get the word out, so we opened this really cheesy website. And people loved the idea, but they'd always warn in their blogs, like, warning, terrible website ahead. But treehugger.com picked up on us within like a month, and all of a sudden things started snowballing. Everybody was interested in inviting us to do talks. And that one year, that carrot was always right in front of us. Everybody loved the idea, but just nobody knew what to do with it. That carrot, you know, one year turned into 2 years, turned into 3 years. And then finally, we got the first grant, the first contract from the Federal Highway Administration.
Was that in 2011?
That was 2009. So they gave us a phase one, it's called SBIR, for Small Business Innovative Research, and it's a six-month, $100,000 contract, and what they want you to do with that is pay university professors to look at your idea, write white papers or scientific papers saying, yay or nay, this can be done or it can't be done. And we already had the professors on board. We'd already been talking to the materials research people, the civil engineers. I'd already done all that and had all these people, you know, advising me. So I talked to the Federal Highway Administrator and said, you know what, if you want me to just spend all that money writing papers I can bury in paperwork, or if you let me take like a little bit of it, $15,000, I'll buy parts and actually build your prototype. And they love that idea. So if you look on our website, you can look at first prototype, and I'll show you. We built a 12-foot by 12-foot solar road panel, basically. And it was we learned quite a bit. I'm glad we did that, because that would have been our approach, and we learned that that's not a very good approach. So we turned in all our results and our findings and our papers and all that, and they liked what they saw. They gave us a second round of funding to actually build a parking lot, and that's what we've built here.
Green, green, rocky road, and promenade and paint them who you love, who you love. Green, green, rocky road, and promenade and paint them who you love, who you love. See the girl with the red dress on. She can birdle and all night long.
Oh, yeah.
She can walk and she can sing. She really knows how to shake that thing. Talking about green, rocky road. Promenade and green, tell me who you love, who you love. If you ever go to Baltimore, take no carpet on your floor.
Yeah.
I come along, won't you go with me? We'll go down to Galilee, talking about green, green, rocky road. I'm promenade and green, tell me who you love.
To listen to Sea Change Radio anytime, anyplace, just subscribe to our free podcast. Simply follow the link from seachangeradio.com or search for us in the iTunes podcast directory.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to the founder and president of Solar Roadways, Scott Broussard. Here's actually another little clip from his company's new promotional video.
So quickly, in review.
Love biking?
Solar Roadways.
Hate high energy bills?
Solar Roadways.
Love the movie Tron?
Solar Roadways.
Worried about the economy?
Solar Roadways.
Love sports?
Solar Roadways.
Scared of hitting moose?
Solar Roadways.
Hate gasoline prices?
Solar Roadways.
Love helping developing countries?
Solar Roadways.
Hate tar fumes?
Solar Roadways.
Love recycling?
Solar Roadways.
Hate winter driving?
Solar Roadways.
Hate shoveling snow?
Solar Roadways.
Love clean air?
Solar Roadways.
Need a job?
Solar Roadways.
Want to save this planet and make it sustainable for your kids and all future generations of life who can look back and say, hey, at least they invented solar freaking roadways.
From the time that this has gone from phase one to phase two to where you are now, the price of solar panels has really plummeted, Scott. And there's also been, we hear about how they're getting thinner and thinner. Would this just affect the cost, or do you think the thinner film solar panels that keep coming out would be ultimately part of your solution?
We can use, we're making our own panels, of course. We're buying the individual cells, and we can use any of the technologies out there, whether it be monocrystalline or polycrystalline or thin film or dye-sensitive.
So your innovation is more the casing of it, is that correct?
Exactly. So we buy whatever the latest technology, and you're right, the price has come down, the efficiency has gone up. When we first started, the standard cell you buy off the shelf out there was 15%, and it was expensive, and now I was paying less than $1 per cell, and they were like 18%. And it's, again, the efficiencies are still going up, and the cost is coming down. So it just becomes more and more cost attractive.
Give us an idea of how far along the prototype road you are in terms of rolling these out.
All right. We finished the phase one contract, and they immediately asked us to come back for a phase two. And that we're still in the process of. We're wrapping that up. We finished this in this July, mid-July. At that time, I will go back through all my receipts, do the cost analysis on what the prototype costs. Now, a prototype type costs probably hundreds more than a regular long-term system would. So that won't even be accurate either. So what I'll do after that is contact all the suppliers and say, okay, let's say I needed to order 100,000 of these at once. What's the price now? And it drops drastically. And we haven't done that yet, so I can't give you a price. But what we're doing now is we have a working prototype. Every phase of it works. There's a few little tweaks we need to make, a few little problems we've had that we need to get over. I'm an electrical engineer. I've done this mostly myself, but I've been wearing the civil engineering hat, the structural engineering hat, the materials hat, and that's difficult to do, and I know I've made some mistakes along the line. So the Indiegogo campaign is to raise the money so I can hire a team of engineers in those fields, so we get experts in every aspect of it, to tweak what I've got, what's already working, and make it a commercial product. So your mayor or the rich guy in Malibu, whoever, can buy these things, and we can start making driveways or cities out of them. And our first customer will probably be the city of Sandpoint, where we're from. They're waiting. They want to do sections. It's a tourist town, basically, and it's like an old frontier town with the sidewalks along the storefronts. They want to do some of the downtown sidewalks and some of the parking lots because this will become a tourist attraction. We've got people from all over the world saying if we open our parking lot here to the public, they will fly here just to say they've walked on it. So we know people will come to Sandpoint for it. And they're just waiting. So we're hoping to be able to produce those at the end of this year or early next year.
If you didn't do it from a grassroots strategy and you just were bought by somebody, what kind of company would it be? Would it be a solar company or like a GE? What kind of a company could really scale this instantly?
Good question. That's hard to say. I mean, we've been Mark Andreessen, one of the biggest VC firms in the nation. He's interested, or he likes the idea. We got an email from Richard Branson this morning. He's interested. Somebody like that with pockets that deep could launch this pretty quickly and easily. They'd have a worldwide distribution network already set up.
What's the next phase? You said that the Federal Highway Administration has funded two phases for you. From a policy standpoint, Scott, where could government agencies help move this forward?
They can help by, for instance, there's a test track north of St. Paul, Minnesota, where they have a big oval track where they pay truckers to drive on this thing 24/7 all year round. And they'd like to put in 500 feet of solar roadway to test it, because the couple things we have not had the funding to test has been noise, how noisy it's going to be to drive on. Retroreflectivity testing. These are things that we would have to do before we go out onto the highways.
And these things can be painted, too. I saw on your website that this artist's rendition of downtown Sandpoint sidewalk, it's green.
Yeah, we're talking to a cell company in Sweden that can make any color we want. Right now, if you look at the pictures of our parking lot, they look green. We've got three different colors. Green, which you look in a circuit board, actually. Then the black panels, or the black you see in the panels, are solar cells. That's the monocrystalline. The other half is blue. Those are the polycrystalline. We're testing them side by side under all weather conditions.
The company is Solar Roadways. That's solarroadways.com. He's the CEO and co-founder, Scott Broussard. Scott, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Well, thanks for having me.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise.
Additional music by Eddie Harris, Los Lobos, and Les McCann. Sea Change Radio is made possible by support from Presidio Graduate School in San Francisco, offering MBA and MPA degrees in sustainable management. Learn more at presidioedu.org. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.